Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello and welcome to church this morning. We're very excited for week 2 out of 3 in the Vision series. Loving God, loving people, loving life. My name is Vince and I'll be sharing a little bit with you this morning on loving people. It's one of the challenging ones in the series because sometimes people can be challenging and that's how it ends up going. So I'm not going to attempt to convince you to love people. I'm the guy this morning at the sporting event who is attempting to start the wave, and you look at him and you're like, why is that guy doing that? You're like, sit down, you're a bum. And then there's other people, eventually, if he persists long enough, that some people in the section will stand, some people will get into it, and the wave will happen. Or, you know, sometimes it just fizzles and dies. We'll see where it goes this morning. I'm hoping for option one. I'm here to get the love wave happen. Week two, loving people. You see, people have differing perspectives, differing values, things that put them at odds, put them in contrast with other people. Maybe you value something different than your neighbor, the person sitting right beside you, or if you're at home right now, either that family member or the friend. Loving God means loving what he loves and loving what he values. And God is the one who gives us value. This is one of the challenging things in Christian life, is valuing what God values. We know this can be a challenging issue when people face big life decisions. You know, things that are in the media recently on when is the beginning of life and when is the end of life and where can we intervene in between? And as our Christian worldview is, we value people because God values them. God gives them value in that same way that when a child gives you a picture, it doesn't matter how terrible it is, you give it value. That same picture given to somebody else, it's like, this picture is terrible. Like, this has no meaning to me. I don't value it. Your kid can't draw. But for you, you assign it value, thus it is valuable. In the same way for us as people, God says, I value you. And so if I'm going to love God, love people, and love what he values, I've got to get in to loving people because God loves and values people. We're going to take a journey this morning through the story of the prodigal son found in Luke 15, verses 11 to 32. And it sounds like a big chunk, but I'm going to walk you through and then, you know, not deal with it verse by verse, but come back to the story. So I want to make sure we're all on the same page together. Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. Now Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided the property between them, his sons. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the land. So he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house and he heard music and dancing, so he called to one of the servants and asked him, "What's going on?" "Your brother has come," he said, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has his son back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Let's pray. Jesus, we just ask that you would speak to us through your word today. We would hear what you would have to say to each one of us, that we would be shaped and become a little more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. So these verses from Luke paint this tale of a few characters, and I want to discuss each of them a bit and their differing perspectives and their differing values. The first one that we clearly have to hit up is the father. Would a loving father sell half his estate to give to his young son so he could experience the world? When I was checking through Jewish commentary, and they said it's not a weird request, because if it was, the father would have rebuffed him at the time. But he didn't. It was something that may not have been typical, but it wasn't unheard of. What was the most important thing to the father? You see, I believe at this moment and through the years leading up, the father had a bit of an inkling about what was going on in the heart of this son. And he knew this relationship, to keep this relationship tight is going to cost me something. It's going to cost me something big. I believe the father knew that something was stirring in the heart of his son, and he was prepared to spend half of it all for this one thing, for this relationship with his son. Now, I know people go through all sorts of things in life, and you'd say, "Well, what would you do for children? one of your children?" Well, along the way, your money doesn't mean anything, and you would do whatever it takes to have a relationship restored. So I can see the father's perspective. When you love somebody, sometimes there's a cost that comes along the way, and it's whether you're prepared to pay it to maintain or to have the relationship. You see, the father was prepared to pay for this relationship. I had a fun outing. I was out with my dad not too long back. Sometime last week, we were going to go see a little bit of Marvel and get our Doctor Strange on. Let me save you $20. It's terrible. Take your $20, go put it in the vision offering, and you're welcome. But the exciting thing that happened when we were there was someone in the congregation, my dad and I, we jumped. Could you grab me a drink, buddy? Awesome. My dad and I, sorry about that. My dad and I were in line to get some popcorn, and this line was not moving. And you know, it's fun. You got the movies, have a little popcorn, a little drink. And lo and behold, a lady from the church, Faye, she's like, "Hey, Pastor Bitz." I'm like, "Hey," I'm like, many spaces back. And you know, when you're a people lover, you're not going to just jump the queue and, pretend that you know this person so you can get a few spaces ahead. That'd be disrespectful to the other people in line. And so I'm a people lover. I'm like, "Oh, I'm not going to do that. Would love me some popcorn, but, I'm not going to do that." There's all sorts of things that I think of, like when you see slights in society that happened where you're like, well, that's a little disrespectful, and I value the relationship more than maybe the access. Well, lo and behold, we're like, okay, we're gonna pack this up. We go up into our seats, and just before the movie starts, Faye comes in with like popcorn and drinks. She's like, I just love you, and I saw you in line up there, and knew it wasn't gonna work out for you to get there in time, but it was for me, so I just got you some popcorn and drinks. Well, and she said, I just love you. And I'm like, oh, I feel the love. Like, and it wasn't just popcorn. Faye and I have been friends for a long time, since her and I were both youth leaders at the church some decades ago. I married Faye and her husband, Curtis. Love her, love this family. And she had this point where she's like, it's going to cost me something, but this will show love. Well, I loved her regardless. But when there's extra butter on top, you feel that extra bit of love, you know what I'm saying? And so sometimes love is going to cost you. Well, this is abnormal, but this is happening right now. Okay, my throat just did one of them crazy things. Thanks, Brad. You know when someone shows that kind of, if you're a people person and you see a disrespect or a little something happen in society, maybe when someone's a little mean to the waiter, or they say some sharp words to somebody at the post office because they didn't quite get it right, and they feel like they need to voice their opinion, and they get words all in there and it gets sharp, you need to know that if that's you, then you suck. And when you see those people in line, maybe you're a people lover too, and you're like, how could you disrespect that, you know, that person? Okay, so they didn't do a bang-up job, and you know, you can deal with it however you're going to deal with it, but I'm always from this point that Jesus loves that person, and I don't even have the choice to come down on them harsh in that way. It's like, well, but I paid for this service. Okay, then you set your value at your dollar bill higher than the value of that person's soul or their dignity or these sorts of things. And it gets into a weird spot, and everyone, you know, is different on how they handle it. But when, you know, you see those, like, those little slights, those little, like, you're less than human things, it's like, oh, then that gets my back up, because I'm a people lover. I've had over 100 people, different people, into my house since the new year. We're entertaining all the time. If you're interested in coming to have lunch or dinner with me, email vince@calvary.ca. We will find a time to get together and have you over. I just love connecting. Best way to do it is get connected into a small group or something. But if, however it's all working, it's conveying the point that you are loved, and I want to connect. And outside of me, God wants to connect with you. The Father wants to connect. Are you at a place when you look at relationship and loving people, can you value what God values? You know, like when you're at the, if you're like at McDonald's or something, and then there's like the line of people, and that one person just like, I just need one thing. Can I just get a pack of ketchup? And you're like, no, you can't get a pack of ketchup. Go over to the thing and get the ketchup. You had your chance to get your ketchup. Now you're going to have to eat your fries without ketchup, and that's on you. Sometimes there's these little things that come along the way where you can, these are all like loose and like not big empowered examples, but you get these little indignities, these little things along the way. When you're talking in a movie, no one likes you. And so it's just these little things that just show a little bit of respect to people. I value them, I respect them, because God does. When we're out at night shift and we're working along the street and someone, you know, smells or breathes crazy on you, I'm just like, what does Jesus say? What is Jesus, is he concerned about this moment? I'm like, Lord, you know, protect me. But Jesus loves that person. And so I've got to, you know, of course, be mindful, but I also have to be mindful of the opinion of the Most High, that this person is a person to be valued, a person to be loved. Not, you know, get away from me, you weird hobo. That's a little much. But you get the sentiment conveying, and this image of the Father is one that conveys love. Is relationship the most important thing to you? Are people your value? A person who views things in relationship can go out of their way because they can say, God values this, thus I value this. maybe one of these Sundays you can put a couple of pieces of extra chicken in the pot and just invite somebody over after church. This is one of the things my wife's family did. And it was like, it impacted me. I got the invite. So be someone who just connects and wants to embrace other people and their lives and try and jump out there in that way. And you'll be surprised that when you take your eyes off of you and put your eyes on what God values, where his blessing flows. Let's move on. The younger son. As we go through the story, the younger son, I empathize with him and I can appreciate a bit of the plight. The word I had for him is supercilious. It's proud. It's an arrogance, a bit of haughtiness. But I can appreciate that a young man hits a point in life where he's like, I need to give this thing a spin on my own and move out of the protection of family. I can appreciate that. It makes sense. Many of you probably wouldn't know this, but when I was younger, I was living with this lady, and moved out to live with this other lady. I was 23, and it was went from my mother to my wife. So it's a boring story that I'm trying to make sound interesting. But I can, a young man who's like wanting to like, show, the world, like I've been paying attention. I want to get out there and try on my own and show some ambition. And I can appreciate where this guy's coming from. So he's gifted half of the father's estate. Perhaps he was just done with the rules, done with the regulations. I don't know what his dad had him doing, but he was wanting to spread his wings and fly. Now, I'd heard the story so one perspective earlier was from a Jewish custom that this wasn't maybe outrageous, but another interesting thing that came up in this podcast was that the differences between Western culture and Eastern culture. When a Western culture hears this story, their first thing that they come to is, what a waste of money. How could you waste that money? Western culture point of view. But when you talk to Eastern culture, some Asian culture points of view, the first thing that comes up is, how could you do that to your family? I would never do that to my father. I just thought, oh, that's interesting, just differing values and things that might be important. And so I'm not here, like, however you look at this story, my intent is to stretch you to love the younger son. He was a bit of a goof up. He was experiencing, he wasn't learning. And dad was saying, the world is not your friend. And he's like, that is wrong. Fake news. That is Russian misinformation, Dad. You fell in prey to one of the seven blunders of the world. And of course, the dad is like, I just want to protect you. I'm not trying to rob you of life experiences. But the young man is like, I want to try some of these things on my own. And there's the folks, I won't believe it until I experience it myself. And I understand that. I can empathize with that. Until, it's like it's that doubting Thomas. Until I put my finger in Jesus' side, I won't believe. And Jesus is like, come on down. And he does. And then he's like, my Lord. It's like, yes, I've been trying to tell you this. And so, but there's people like, and maybe you identify with that. Until you've experienced it, you're like, is this what life is all about? The son had spent all his money. He wanted some of these finer things, but instead of sashimi, he couldn't even afford fishy crackers at the end. He'd blown it all. And so can you love the person who has made brash mistakes? Can you love the person, maybe it's one of your kids, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a friend, and that's made like just a series of one terrible decision after the other. Can you love people? Can you love people? Yeah, that was a terrible decision. I still love you, but, wow. And we get into some of his terrible decisions. The next group of people we find in his wild living and prostitutes, his indulgence. Now, the world, like, I think it's, there's many, hollow things in the world that are just, it's fake, it's plastic, it's just, it's not real, it just, it's like cotton candy, it's there, and it's gone, and yeah, that fake and plastic, it reminds me of like a Halloween skeleton, and you buy a Halloween skeleton, and it's like, it's plastic, so it's not good for the earth, which the moral of the story is that you should buy locally sourced, like organic skeletons, something more real. Wasn't quite how I meant it. You get the gist of that the world is messed up and fake and plastic, and this is represented by wild living and the prostitute, the call girl, the escort, the ladies of the evening, the street walkers, the nighttime accountants, the call girl, or maybe it was call guy, just a gigolo. I don't know what the younger son was into, but he blew through his whole stash, with the wild living, these hookers and drinking White Claws down at the pub until he passed out, and smoking the devil's lettuce all night long, and whatever he was going on into, he worked through the whole thing. Now, she or that group identifies there are things in the world where the Bible is quick to say sin is fun for a season, and if it's not, you haven't picked the right ones or aren't doing it right. I find these words from Freddie Mercury very interesting, the lead singer of Queen and known for a flamboyantly outrageous life, and he said these things, which I find interesting. Can you imagine how terrible it is when you've got everything and you're still desperately lonely? That is awful beyond words, Freddie Mercury. In another quote, he said, like, I've had the adoration of millions, and I've acquired millions of pounds, but I am the loneliest man. And that is the worst kind of lonely. You see, those things of the world, Hebrews 11:25, sin is fun, but it always has consequences, Galatians 6:7, and those consequences are dire, Romans 6:23. I was watching this National Geographic documentary, and it was showing a 13-foot Burmese python in Florida that had stumbled across what it thought was quite the treat. The treat was that it came across a 6-foot alligator. They got into it, and the Burmese python began to eat the 6-foot crocodile, consumed it. But of course, the thing was so large, and it was enjoying, it's like, I'm feasting like a king. But because it was so big, it actually split the snake. And it burst out of him because he'd indulged on something that he shouldn't. And it literally blew him apart from the inside out. And this can be what sin is like. So whether it's all-night White Claws or, you know, the Jolly Green Joy Smoke, the Acapulco Gold, the Mexican Red, the Donna Juana, the Mary Jane, the life that goes along with what was described as wild living, left him destitute. And it was fun for the moment till it came time where he had nothing. And then he went, where's my buddies at? Where's the friends I've paid for? Oh, man. The weed's gone, the party's over, and he was there empty. I was wondering, if you had it in you to love a sinner, just love someone at the edge of messed up and heading to death, is the love, God's love, just stirred up enough into you that you would take that chance, that you would love a person to that point? Now, I know lots of family situations, and some of them are crazy, and so I understand why people are skeptical of sometimes wanting to jump in. It's like, this pond is too deep. I've actually jumped into this pond before and almost drowned myself on the way in. That's not what I'm talking about. But there's other times where you've given up on love because it hurt, and you got hurt. And maybe it's time to let the Lord work some healing in there so you can love what he values again. It's not too late. It's not too late. Can you love past your broken trust? Can you love people again? Can you love what God values? He loves people. Will you take that chance again? Another group that we'll just quickly take a look at. One of the citizens of that country, it's a man who hired him to tend pigs. I think it's hilarious and ironic that you have in this Jewish culture and the one guy who will lend you the helping hand, I'm assuming that he was a Gentile, otherwise, like, who's raising pigs? It's probably not the Jewish leader. Reaches a hand out. I just need somebody to feed these pigs. I categorize and I can look at this guy as indifferent. I can question whether he is like, you know what, I just really want to help this kid. He's probably, just my understanding of like life and having been out there and business, sometimes I just need somebody to do this job. You want to do it? No? Move along? Yes? Okay, here you go. And so he wasn't lined up with the young son's values. He wasn't concerned about the young son's plans for life. He was a gateway, a holding pattern, a stopgap to put the son in a place where he could survive till tomorrow. He could survive till tomorrow with no way to climb out. And sometimes it sounds like a helping hand, but until the young son regains his vision for what could be at his father's house, the citizen is actually isn't helping him. Now, it can sound judgy. It's like, oh, the guy's giving him a hand, like, lighten up. Well, I would say it in a practical way. Like, if you have one of your kids or one of your loved ones, and you're like, oh, I appreciate that person helping them, but that help equals a prison. It's like, I'm torn. I can love you for reaching out and getting them through the day, which might be necessary for that day in order to buy some time. But also, I'm not fired up about you staying in this holding pattern forever. If someone's cold and someone offers you a blanket, you say, thank you. But it's not intended for you to just snuggle up into that blanket for the rest of time and count your days until Jesus comes back. There's something kind, but in also indifferent. I was at the hair cutter person, barber, that's what she is. And she just stares at me, and she didn't care what I look like. She's gonna get paid no matter what, it's not her fault. She just stares at my face a little bit. She just kind of does this little twirly action and kind of in front of my face, and she's, what's going on here? Do you want me to trim your eyebrows? I was like, oh man. Like, I'm mortified and I'm thankful. And it's kind of like that with this person where you're like, I'm thankful, but wow. It's like a backhanded help. And what can end up happening with these situations is that that person gets stuck into a holding pattern, and a year goes by, and 2 years goes by, and 5 years goes by. He's not 21 anymore, he's 25. Next thing you know, oh, he's 30, and he's still slopping pigs. He was the son of this respected father, and he lost sight of what he was. There's nothing wrong with slopping pigs, but you get what I'm saying, that there was more to him than this. And so it's like it's helpful, and it's not. Being stuck in a holding pattern is a challenge when someone has a passion for you the same way that you should have a passion for you. Do you value you enough to get out of a stuck moment? Why aren't you passionate about what God is passionate about for you? Does God have something for you and you're stuck in a holding pattern over it? Maybe it's time to take a look at some things that you're stuck in and evaluate. Lord, is there more? Two more here. Another character inside of this story of the prodigal son from Luke. The father's hired servants. Just a quick note on them. They're not portrayed as a major character, and immediately what came to mind as a not major character were that in the story, these persons are non-player characters. They're NPCs. They're not important to the storyline, but play a part. And it's funny with for my gamer friends out there. It's funny when you're playing through a game and a non-player character, an NPC interacts with you, and it's like, "Welcome, traveler. Can I bother you for a canteen of water?" And so you're like, "Do you want to give, Blar a canteen of water? Yes, no, stab him with a sword." And you have to choose what you want to do with this person. I find it's always helpful with the NPCs of life. You are a part of their journey, and they are a part of your journey. And even if they're not a major interactive player, it's always helpful to be kind. And sure enough, when you're in the middle of the game and the NPC asks you for something and you give it and they offer you back, this is the Sword of Valor, and you're going to need this to fight the dragon. And you're like, oh, like, good thing I talked to you. Good thing I showed kindness and didn't cut you down. In the same way in life, it's always the easiest. It's always the best route. Just be kind to everybody. That person is loved by God. Because God loves them, you can love them too. Doesn't have to mean you're every player in life you have to go hang out with, be your new best friend. But it's always a great idea just in these NPCs of life. Just be kind. There's some people in life, like, I believe there's something beautiful inside of everybody. But sometimes you really gotta really, really dig deep to find it. And sometimes these NPCs in life, even the scripture says, by entertaining strangers, you may be entertaining angels. Like, so that these non-immediate in front of your face, my family and my friends or boss or coworkers, these key players in your life, but some of these side stories, be kind. You might be entertaining angels. Just love people. Just love some people. And our final one, the older son. The older son. He's choked. The older son is cheesed off with the return of the younger son. He is not happy about this at all. He sees the waste. He sees the disrespect to the family, and he is cheesed. He's like, I'm not having anything to do with this jerk. See, the older brother's values are like, he talks about like, he's squandered half of your estate with hookers, with prostitutes. He's like disgraced your name, and to such a point that he's like, I'm not going in there. It's not fair. I did everything right. And this jerkweed is going to get the fattened calf, gets a party. You wouldn't even give me a goat to hang out with my friends and have a good time. How is this fair? And you're like, yeah, that makes some sense. How is this fair? What is fair? That's not fair. Newsflash, tons of things in life aren't fair. There's a journey along the way, and love can change and love looks different. I'm drawn to thinking about some like marital situations that can pop up, and in early phases when you're like maybe dating and you're like, I'll do anything, I'll drive here, I'll drive there, I'll do whatever it takes just to spend a little more time with you. And then maybe a little later into married life, you're like, I just kind of wanted to bring up that last night, your knee was on my side of the bed, and just thought you should know about that. And just things can sometimes get weird or petty. And it's this range, this scope of equity, of fairness, and how this arrangement and how this arrangement is going to work in your life. That's not fair. There's a bajillion things in life that aren't fair. It's this person didn't do a thing and gets cancer. This guy smoked like a chimney and he lives to 100. This person didn't drink at all. This person gets psoriasis in their liver and they never had a drink in their lives. This person was nice to everybody and has the big jammer while he's going for a run. This person was an idiot and lived till 90. You're like, how is any of this fair? How is any of this fair? I was left behind while this happened. This was done to me, not by me. And it's not fair. And I'm wondering if you're able to look past it for the sake of love. It wasn't fair. It's not fair. Are you able to move to a place where you just, I don't know, maybe you want to carry it to the end. I'm just trying to get the wave going, baby. Or maybe there's a place where you can find enough love in your heart to go, okay, I'm going to move past it. Maybe you've written somebody off in your life because it wasn't fair. And today the Lord's talking to you. You see, loving God, loving what he loves equals loving what he values equals loving people. Are you able to love again what the Lord loves and values? Are you able to maybe rekindle? I was speaking with some of our seniors a couple of years back, and there was a senior lady, and she's going through some challenges. Excuse me. And she had a sister that she hadn't spoken to in 20 years. I was like, what was it about? Like, what happened? And she said to me, I can't even remember. What? How do you hit a place where you're not talking to your sibling for 20 years? It wasn't fair. What happened wasn't right. This situation was stupid. I understand that it's not fair. You were wronged. This isn't fair. Are you going to be big enough to move past it for love, for God's sake, for his value's sake? Do you want to hang out in yesterday? My encouragement to you, try one more time. Do your part as much as it can work for you to get past it for God's sake, for the sake of the kingdom, for Jesus' sake. It's time. Now, I'll close with this. Some of these things are a challenge and confront us because my encouragement to you is to think different than the world. Once bit, twice shy. It's done to me once, then it's never happened again. I know. Take the higher road. You are in this world, but you are not of this world. You think different. You believe different. You act different. And even if along the way you're like, I'm not ready to jump there yet, just try. Just try. Just take one step. Just one step is all I'm asking. You are not of this world. You're in it, but you're not of it. You have the Lord's ways, and his ways are higher. You have the Lord's thoughts, and his thoughts are higher. There's something more for you. You see people based upon what you value, and I know the Lord's got so much more for you. Value what he values. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this reminder story, this story of values. Lord, we want to have your ways in our mind. We want to have your values in our heart. Lord, and we would ask that on this day, you would just shape us to be a little bit more like Jesus. Lord, we love you and are hopeful. We desire for this next step, to take one step closer to your likeness in loving people more. Lord, help us with this one step, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.